Do you know Sigmund Freud?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
All right. Sigmund Freud had a very unique way of calculating people's calipers, of how they gauge, of what they can take and what they can't. Okay, Freud set up a stage that made, that create, because of Sigmund Freud, he created a Bill Gates. Because without a Freud, there'd be no Bill Gates.
Wow.
At what point do you wake up? At what point do you wake up and say, "I must be the richest, world's richest man. World's richest man. I must be." What is the driver? How do you wake up? How do you wake up and decide that's a good thing to do? Because after a little while, you know well, at a certain point, there's more money than you can spend. Okay, let's buy some stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, let's buy some more stuff. Okay, let's buy some stuff. Okay, let's buy another house to build more stuff, to get some more stuff. Okay, let's buy all the houses. But after a little bit, you're like, "God damn, I'm spending all my life trying to sweep and dust and tend and take care of, and this is leaking, and that's got to be fixed. And this is on." You spend all your life trying to chase this thing that you already have. So it's very astounding from that level.
Right. Yeah, Bob also wanted to ask about are he and his ilk dealing in adrenochrome from the young children?
No, Bob, but they won't be wormy.
You
they
can
won't
go
have
into
worms.
That later, Bob.
Yeah,
you
they won't have
go
worms.
Into that.
They won't have. If you eat raw potatoes, they'll give you worms. Well, the adenochrome will cure you from the worminess, so you won't be wormy, Bob.
Well, what it is, I think it's the adrenaline from scared children that they take out of their blood and then they inject it. So are they doing that?
Yes, and it will make you not wormy. It'll kill the worms in you. So it's a
and
side
that's
effect.
All it'll.
It'll make you not wormy. You won't ascend. You won't ascend, but you won't be wormy. So that's good. You won't have the worms. So that's good. No tapeworms
for
you.
So, Bob, they do it. They're doing it, but it's not working. All it does is act as a dewormer.
I told Glenn to, he kept asking, wondering about this vehicle. And I said, "Look, I told you what it was." And I said, "You ask Ion." So you might not say what it is to him, as opposed, it would be different to what you say to me, maybe.
We'll see. Yeah. We know what to do with him. He's not going to come stomping in here too hard, Bob. Don't worry.
Right. Now, so the UFOs, they were monitoring me or signaling something to somebody?
Just like the Borgias, Bob.
Well, what? They're bad
like
people.
The Borgias. Are they? Well, you're bad, too.
They were.
So you fit right in there. You fit right in their wheelhouse.
So the UFO aliens are like the bourgeois. They find me as a good colleague.
Not bourgeoisie, like Borgias, the Pope.
No. No, I mean the Borgia family. Quite a reputation. Some of them
so
were
you.
Popes.
So do you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But what were they doing? They're being like the Borgia. They're just watching me?
Yeah. Of course.
Are they watching how I interact with other people?
Or don't interact with them. See, you'll drop somebody, the most valued thing ever. You drop them like a bad habit. And other things are different, just all what strikes you.
Why would I drop somebody?
You do it every day.
Yep. Okay. There's this one. Okay. Bill Gates, he said that he strangles kids. So then later I realized, maybe I mentioned to somebody, that's the killing of kids is the... It's the killing of kids to get the adrenochrome. And you say it's just for their worms. It's not for staying alive longer.
Well, it is for that, but it doesn't work very well. It's for that, but it just doesn't work very well.
So that makes them desperate, and they keep killing kids to get more adrenochrome? Because they think
of
it should
course.
Work?
Of course, Bob.
So when you get into Epstein's circle, you start wanting to be immortal and killing kids. So Gates, like Hillary Clinton and the rest of them, were doing that.
Still are.
Right? Right. And Hillary's a trillionaire, so she's got a lot of, well, she died. But when she was alive, she had a lot of money. So the problem of having a lot of money that Bill has, she had. Right? They sate themselves. They don't know what to do with themselves after they can have everything. Correct?
Okay.
And then that leads into killing kids. Because the main thing to have is to stay alive forever or to have some kind of immortality or eternalness. So
sir,
it's natural for people, little man, as they get richer, kind of overtakes them and they become the richest person in the community, I mean, even globally, they just have an appetite for more, and so it ends up getting adrenochrome. That motive.
Right.
Right. And has that gone all through? That would be a characteristic of the secular Illuminati, not the Saint Germain Illuminati. I mean, he's a real Illuminati, but the stupid little people who ascend a little bit and are still secular and live in this world trying to conquer it. That's been their activity for thousands of spanses of moons, right?
Sure.
It's not a new 20th century thing. Now, what we're just talking about, no, it's not a 20th century thing. Can I broadcast this? You said it didn't matter what we said about Bill because we just exposed where the bodies are. Is this something about the Illuminati, the fake Illuminati, that is useful to publish publicly, or we shouldn't do it?
You parse through it. You can pick some grains of salt. That'll be okay, Bob.
Pick some grains of salt. Does that mean edit it?
Pick the words that you want to display, and we'll display those.
Well, I would display them all, including the killing of people by Hillary and Bill. You seem that we can get away with that. Right?
Good.
Yeah, you're saying we can get away with that, so. All right. Right now, a big scandal happened in the media yesterday. Fauci and everybody had to admit, maybe the virus did come from the Wuhan lab. What caused that change? They're saying it's a scandal in the media. Tucker Carlson and them are, mocking the media for getting it wrong again, and that Trump was right at some level to accuse China. Why did that happen? Is that more work that we're doing, allowing that to come out?
Mostly.
Is this part of you speeding? You're setting the media up.
Computer says yes.
You set them up. They've been running around for a couple, since the COVID started, laying out a pattern that is not accurate. Then you say, they found out you're lying. So we're doing that as part of upping the intensity in the world right now. Or that's the tech body playing with people, right? Tech body is now emphasizing the Wuhan lab.
Probably.
And you, right? Now, the question everybody says, somebody spilt the virus and it got out of the lab. The more extreme people, not regular journalists, say, no, China released it as a weapon. Actually, one or two people did say that. They think it could have been released as a weapon. And I think Bill Bennett said that yesterday. Is that true? Was it a reaction to the problems in Hong Kong? And the Chinese Communist Party said, we're going down. We're going to take people with us. We're going to put out this virus. How do you answer that? Is it that cut and clear? It was a military attack. Would you agree? Or is that too hot to talk about?
Maybe a little warm yet, Bob.
All right. So, but it's getting closer to
pick
that
up,
idea.
Pick it up. Pick it up. You're hitting dry notes, so it's killing us. Pick it up. Pick up the topical inference, because it's like we're draining.
Well, you have said the virus came from the lab. That's... The world is now realizing that.
Now the world's acknowledging that now. So we'll have to move it to the next level now because they're seeing what we're saying just because they listen to us and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, Fauci knew we were saying it, right?
Yeah, of course.
So he's in trouble. He's going to die soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He seems blasé about it. He just remains like
indifferent. Well, he's just trying to get out of it. He led the world down the primrose path of destruction. No, he wants out of the shit.
No, by committing suicide?
Well, you mean take a vaccination? Yeah.
Yeah, and we have said the
they call it the suicide shot.
Yes, and CDC knows the vaccination is the problem when people get the new bacterial. They're doomed. They understand that. Now
that's why they say take the mask off, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall surely die. Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
That's what they know. They're thinking, CDC.
Yeah.
Now,
because if everybody's wearing a mask, and everybody starts that anyway, they're going to say, uh-oh. And then everybody took their mask off. Well, we told y'all not to take your mask off, and you did, so fuck it. You did, you know, you got what you got, so yeah.
Right. So, the people, what was that idea? CDC, oh, let me just, maybe I deleted that. The CDC knows about the vaccination factor. So when you say Fauci funded the whole project from NYU, that's what they're exposing, that he sent money and it was used to...
Yeah.
Correctly or incorrectly.
He gave the Wuhan Institute of Virology $600,000 to prove the thing that he said they couldn't do.
He said to the public once COVID happened that they couldn't have done that. But he knew
Correct.
They could.
They did
He's lying in that.
Yeah.
And he knew they would do it.
So he paid to do the virus. Which is what Carolyn Dean's taking credit for.
Right. And he did want the virus to get out and kill people.
Mm-hmm. You're just following orders.
Right. And he's following that old agenda that LaRouche used to be on about to depopulate the world. The oligarchy wants
mm-hmm.
to do that. That's the motive
they
among
do.
Some of them.
They do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And many people know that. Right? And many mm-hmm. citizens, little people, know that. Tariq knows that.
With his little hat. It's so cute.
Right, right. Now I remember what I was going to say. So I got JW to listen to Cliff High, and JW said it was one of the best things I ever sent him.
Yep.
Is Cliff High just blatantly listening to us and using us?
Yeah.
Using our material?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What? And he's selfish.
He's got nothing. He's got nothing to back up what he's saying. He says
yeah.
it, but he's got nothing to support it. He can't say, I was looking in the well, and I saw this happen, and I saw a turtle become a frog, and that's how the RNMNAMNNADBBBD, and this is what made this happen like that. He don't say that. He just says it. And he says cryptocurrency, because we've been talking about that. And he talks about shooting people in the face, anarchy. We've been talking about that. Every level on his tier of this, what he's trying to present is a bell curve. Oh, Karen's gone. She's going to bed.
Yeah. He's okay. trying to present a bell curve.
A bell curve to prove dimension. You have ascension and dimension. And he's trying to see how far it's going to go before it gets ugly. That's what he's trying to present.
Dimension is dementia?
Mm-mm.
Derivative.
No. Mm. The opposite of ascension is dimension. Little man.
What's that?
Made smaller. Little man made smaller.
Oh.
Ascension, little man
he,
made greater.
So why wouldn't he ever admit he's listening to us?
It's not his anymore. You notice it's kind of
yes.
funny. He says, you can't use any of my words without my permission. Well, they're not your words, motherfucker. When they start off like that, you know something's wrong. See, there's the trouble. There's the rub. They're not his words, and that's why he's claiming them.
Yeah, does he just listen to the archives, or does he listen live?
Sometimes both. Sometimes he'll have another. These steps now, like you can't even tell, keep track of who it is and where it is anymore. You can't keep track of it anymore, Bob.
I can't, or he can't. Both of us can't
you
keep
can.
Track of it.
You
right,
can.
It's all over the place. And we do have
mm-hmm.
millions listening to
mm-hmm.
us. And did he tell anybody, a close friend, confidant, to listen to us? Or is he
mm-hmm.
just keep it to
no.
himself?
That's how he tries to peddle. That's how he tries to peddle his shit. Hey,
yeah.
if you're getting the insight from Mae Brussels, you don't say Mae Brussels told me. You said, oh, I had an epiphany.
All right. I think Ian said that in 69, when the Americans went to the moon, the rocket landed on the moon, but no humans. And the humans
right.
staged something in Nevada or someplace, a desert
Arizona.
Scene.
Arizona.
Right. Was it filmed by Stanley Kubrick?
No.
No.
Stanley Kubrick did the editing. He did the editing. He didn't do the filming.
Okay. Was it tough for him to keep that secret all his life?
Nah.
He
no.
didn't care.
Nixon couldn't keep it right either.
He couldn't keep it to himself?
Right.
Nixon. So he told a few mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they told Jackie Gleason, and it about fucked up everything. You know, mm-hmm. the honeymooners, Jackie Gleason.
Yeah. And it fucked up. It led to Watergate?
Mm-hmm. It did.
Among other things.
Yeah. He had to go. The Warren
right,
Commission, Bob. The Warren Commission.
they continued from Kennedy's assassination mm-hmm. to Watergate, the same committee.
It's true.
The Warren Commission was not the people, the actual implementers of that judgment, were not the people pictured in the Warren Commission, like Alan Dulles and
no,
John McCloy.
That's, no. It's just straight up Spiro Agnew, baby. Which
so
you
Spiro
know
is part of the... Spiro was part of the inner elite, the unknown elite.
Of course. Of course.
What we call the cabal. All right. So Nixon...
which is
I
what was trying to
said,
save. Which was trying to save the Rockefellers, but it didn't work, Bob.
Agnew was working for the Rockefellers.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Yering said that Nixon was pissed off the Rockefellers when he... On August 15th, 71, he floated the dollar as a
mm-hmm.
exchange factor. Is that mm-hmm. something the Rockefellers mad, or that was minor compared to the moon and stuff that Nixon couldn't hold himself?
Minor. Minor.
Yeah, that's
small
minor.
Small potatoes.
When did the Rockefellers give it up? I mean, they apparently died in 70. John... the third died in July 78, Nelson in January 79, and Peter talks about this, and then David lost the control of Chase Manhattan in summer of 1980. Was that a figure for something else happening to the Rockefellers?
Well, the fall. See, the fall shows up. They lost it, and then they lost their money. They lost their power, and then they lost their money.
So
the only reason they had any money, the only reason they had any money is because they had all the power.
Right.
Did you get that?
And, right, but they weren't as powerful or had as much money as the Rothschilds, LaRouche used to say.
Well,
that's
all relative. But you're talking about drivers. My bank's bigger than yours, so it'll hold more money than you got. Okay, that may be true, but that doesn't have anything to do with how much money there is involved. See the difference? My bank's bigger than yours, so I can hold more money than you got. That doesn't say how much money you really have.
And how much is being effective or implementing
correct.
Power.
That's
so
correct.
The Rockefellers became quite powerful. Are they gone when Rockefeller becomes vice president or when he was vice president in 74, 75?
All but gone. All but gone.
Right. So when Carter was running for president in 76, there's the famous photo of Rockefeller giving the finger to the crowd, the political crowd.
Yeah.
Is that when he had known he'd lost it all? That's why he did that? Or was he going down?
In essence. He was trying to keep a good face. If there's such a thing.
Right.
If there is such a thing.
Yeah, he was trying to remain arrogant and powerful, have the image of it.
Yeah. Because, see, they were a big deal. I don't know how or why, but they were a big deal when they were.
Yes, but not as big as the turn in taxes?
Not as much, no. But, see, nobody but you knew about the Habsburgs and the turn in taxes, and they didn't know that. In those days.
That's right. The Birchers didn't know that.
I mean, you talk about, and the John Birch Society was just a joke.
Right. So Rockefeller's going down in the 70s. So Dr. Beter was leaked information by the four Rockefeller's children? That was the rumor.
Develop it so we can agree. If you ask me straight out, we're going to say no. But if you develop it, we're going to say yes. But you got to develop it because you're being sloppy, you slobbery hag.
Well, the real person was Nelson's secretary, who ended up being killed,
correct,
thrown out the window.
Correct.
She was
good.
She
now you
did
get
somewhere. And then the kids might help her. They might became aware of her.
No, the kids benefited from it. See, get your words right.
Okay, but did the secretary...
The kids were silly. The kids were idiots, Bob. You know that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the baby boomers, I know. But the secretary did this out of a personal pique.
Vendetta.
Anger at the... At,
v
at
is for vendetta. Yeah.
Right, she'd had enough. Okay.
Too many episodes of Mad Men, Bob.
That's right. And how did she meet Beter? How did they get connected?
At the Capitol Club.
Okay.
He used to go to the Capitol Club all the time.
That's in Washington or New York?
It is. Washington. Well, there's one in each, but they would go to the one in Washington.
So Beter met her. Okay. And then she noticed.
Well, Beter was everywhere. He was a jockey. He was jockeying, trying to get in the Queen's gold. And so the only way that's going to work is he's got to be something in Washington to get to the Queen's gold. Because the Queen didn't give a shit about anybody except for Stephen in Washington. They could give the crown power.
You just said the Queen didn't care about anything? Is that what you just said?
Right. Right. The Queen didn't care about Beter at all.
But she would use him. If Beter was making
right.
moves, she could, yeah.
Well, if Beter was in Washington and New York with all the power players, then the Queen could use him to get the gold.
Right, and Sims Hildage was her man. I met Sims Hildage.
We got to say indirectly, but yeah.
He was just along with the ride with on the Beter level? He was being used, or he controlled Beter?
Okay, it's a funny relationship, Bob. It was in and out. Sometimes it was one way and sometimes it was the other. Both actually applied. They kind of fed off each other. You know, like what you did to Chris Story. You remember?
Right. Yep. Okay, I got that. Ion mentioned the dilithium crystal.
Boy, notice, hey, y'all. Hey, crowd. Notice how Bob let that drop like a bad habit.
Yeah.
He didn't want to talk about that. He won't edit that. He won't edit that out. He won't edit that out. He'll leave it because he can. Because if he edits it, then we'll bring it up. And then it's like, well, why didn't you edit it? What was going on? There's something going on. So he'll leave it. So y'all can hear it. Notice how he just let it go. He just let it go just like that. That's good. That's
yeah.
Good. Okay, now, dilithium crystals, Your Majesty.
Now, you mentioned that in passing to me, and then it was mentioned on the show, and people said, oh, that's from Star Trek or something. They saw this.
No, there is a version like that on Star Trek, yes.
But they borrowed it from, there is such a thing as dilithium crystals. They just used it, Gene Roddenberry just used it in the show to make a matter, antimatter, to create a level to validate a warp drive.
Yes, so the UFOs use them? The aliens' vehicles use the dilithium? So you gave out some important technical information when you said that on the show.
We did, but we played it off as Star Trek, so everybody's going to say, "Oh, okay, that was for the trick." It's all
right.
That's all Romulan. That's all Romulans talk. That was for the Romulans, Bob, but not really. It was
right.
for Bob, but Bert got it. Don't you think Bert didn't get it? Bert got it.
Yeah, and he'll look it up. He'll investigate it. But
like not what it said, but what it does.
Right, and you're putting it out there for some reason that someone who's listening should know that you know you're signaling, virtual signaling.
Might as well.
All right, might as well.
Why not?
Because
Why not?
They can't take it away from us. We're in charge.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So I was telling Clinton on the Office Hour show yesterday about how the what we just talked about earlier, the NASA sent a rocket to the moon, but no people. And he said, no, there had to be people there, says Clinton, because there had to be, I think the word was retroreflectors. They're on the moon, and they are a communication with us.
But they don't work.
Look it up.
The retroreflectors don't work. That's what's wrong with them. They failed. That's why they had to do the detailed version of the Arizona's moon landing.
Well, in other words, they weren't intending to do the Arizona version, to do the fake.
Well, but see, if that were true, it would you couldn't have this perfect. They did take after take after take to make the moon landing perfect. And instead, it was perfect. Okay, it was perfect. But instead, they had to do it so many times to get it perfect, they didn't have that many takes. See, if it's really happening from retro reflectors, then it really happens. You see?
Okay, he's saying that humans had to put retro reflectors on the moon. You're saying
no,
they were on the shuttle.
They were on the spacecraft.
And I think he said that they fell off and you could see them.
Well, they maybe did fall off, but that's not because humans dropped them. That's because they fell off.
Okay. So I'm looking it up because I looked up the other day. It says retroreflectors are devices which reflect light back to its source. Five were left at five sites on the moon by three crews of the Apollo program and two remote landers of the Lunokhod program, the Russians. Lunar reflectors have enabled precise measurement of the Earth-Moon distance since 1969 using lunar laser ranging. So they didn't do precise measurement. They didn't work.
Correct.
And the fact they didn't work, does that prove that humans weren't on the moon to fix them?
Correct. All they had to do, if they fell off, they just stand them up.
So they made a lie. They made a lie that they are measuring the Earth moon since 69. That's not true. And Clinton's going with the plot line, the cover story of what happened. Right. Now you said they perfected the landing, or they perfected something. You mean they practiced landing the rocket?
No, they didn't care about that, Bob. You did not have good TV in the 70s. 69. You didn't have good TV.
Yeah.
You didn't have good TV, all right? So they had to practice it and practice it and practice it and practice it. Well, if you're on the fucking moon, you can't practice it. Okay?
Right.
How do you get that feed? How do you get the feed from the moon back to the U.S.? How'd they get that? How was that relay?
Well,
They have cell phones. They did a zip drive. What did they do? They didn't have none of that shit. There wasn't no drop cord. They went from the moon down to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
See, they didn't have that.
Okay.
And they didn't make a video. They didn't make an 8 millimeter tape
and mail it back to them from the moon to see what happened. See, it didn't come like that.
Well, they knew
how did
they
transfer? Well, I know, but Bob, how did you watch it on fucking television? If that's not possible, how did you watch it on television? Oh, we have new microwave. Oh, wait, we didn't have microwaves yet. Fuck.
No,
okay.
They filmed it in the Arizona desert. They filmed it. We established
that. We know that. But everybody else says, oh, yes, they went on the moon. I watched the footage. And I was like, how did you get this footage? Tell us. We'll be smart and explain it. Explain it. Explain it to us, Lucy. You got some explaining to do. Tell us how that occurred.
Right. Nobody, the journalists weren't allowed to question that, or they did.
I don't know.
Or they didn't.
Don't know. Don't know. But they just kind of think like, well, this is a small step for mankind and a large step for bullshit. A large step for bullshit.
So, did people think that it was filmed and sent later, or they all thought it was
filmed? Don't know
what
they thought. Yeah, that's right. How do you do that? They couldn't even do that for the Merv Griffin show 20 years later.
Right. So the lunar laser ranging, which allowed the precise measurement of Earth-Moon distance, that was what they might have been able to do, but they didn't get even that done.
That just measures the distance. That doesn't give you a communication output.
So that's a big, funny assumption that people never questioned that we could see the TV. Did NASA say, oh, yeah, we can do TV. We can do this. They just told everybody they could do it.
No, they just said, here's the pictures. Here's the pictures. They didn't say how they got them. They didn't say where they come from. Why didn't they have pictures of the monkey that they put on the moon? They did that. And it came back, and the monkey is stuffed in the Smithsonian Institution right now. Okay, why didn't they have pictures of the monkey on the moon? If that's true, why didn't they have that?
Why didn't they? The monkey wasn't on the moon?
There was no way to get the pictures back, Bob. That's the point.
Oh, okay. Or to preserve the pictures there. They couldn't take photos and put them in their storage.
Correct.
Okay, so this is an example of McLuhan's point that a new technology is a new environment, and it's largely the total effects are perceived by humans dimly. They don't see the whole thing. They accepted the idea that the TV was transmitting because they couldn't understand and see the whole environment. It was too new.
And they weren't looking. They didn't see on American Bandstand whose feet were touching the floor or not.
Hmm.
It didn't care.
So, very strange environment. McLuhan said it was the greatest classroom experience ever. The whole globe went to school and learned together the experience. But a lot of it was, quote, fake or not what they thought they were seeing.
Well, let's say surreal. That's the way to say it. You can get away with
that. Right, yeah. It's a surreal situation. Okay, well, very good. That's very interesting. What?
That was good. That was good, Bob. Yeah. You're doing better. You're getting better at this.
Right. You said in passing, it didn't go good for Mae Brussels, either in my private session or on the show. What didn't go good?
The ending. She was worried that they were going to get her. Okay, we can finish that if you want us to.
Yeah.
She was worried to death they were going to get her, and then in the end they got her. So,
by her own suicide, or they did something to her?
Both.
They actually made an attempt to murder her.
They did, in the house across the road. You know this. That's how she got the damn cancer, Bob. Come on now. You live this shit.
Oh.
You were bippin' to her goddamn house. Biffing through her goddamn house, your body wasn't even cold yet. She's in her fucking house, so don't start this shit like, oh, well, that's interesting. I never knew anything about it. Fuck, yeah, no, good luck with that, Bob. No, you got the wrong one now. Come on, you can do better than that.
That's right, she died an hour or so after we showed up on October 3rd, 1988. Was anybody suspicious of us? John Judge, Dave Emery?
You're very obvious when you walk in the door and says, I'm here to collect your things. You know, you were easy. I'm here to fiffer through the books. I want to see the notebooks. And give me to the library.
You mean
the library?
Yeah, you mean I'm so efficient. Obviously, I didn't kill her. I wouldn't have showed up so quickly and said, okay, we have to save this stuff.
Yeah.
Let's gather it up, preserve it.
Gather and make sure we save it all. She was very important. And I'm the only one who's qualified to tell you how important she was. So I better back up. I got to step back. And they did. That's the hell of it, is they just said, oh, okay, okay. He's going to do the autopsy.
So was Tom Davis murdered, or he just had a heart attack and didn't recover?
He had a heart attack, but he was inoculated, and that's how he caught his heart attack.
Wow! So they didn't want him around either.
No, because he knew the rudiment.
I mean, he knew that Mae Brussell had been killed, murdered.
He knew why Mae Brussell was killed. That's what you're trying to say.
Oh, what was it? What information, I assume, is what was the cause?
Too many is listening, and we'll be listening for that, Bob. You're not going to get that. Just slow down. Slow your roll, Bob. Now, look. Pay attention. Bob, what was Mae Brussell working on in 1988? Don't say it.
Just listen. Right.
But you know full well exactly the thing she was dealing with that was odd, even what you say odd even for her. She was careful about it. She knew it was an interesting thing, and the next thing you know, she fell ill all of a sudden.
So I can say it now, if I
correct,
she was that's what she would
that's
be. She wouldn't be inclined to look into that. That's not reported in newspapers.
But she was. I know, but
yes.
It was. She knew. She wouldn't say it like that. She would look at the topic and then see what the newspapers said about it. See, and if she were alive today, she wouldn't go about truth or lie. She'd look and she'd see what Joy Behar said about it. She'd look and see what MSLSD thought about it. She'd say what the New York Slime wrote about it. She'd see what the Washington Compost would report on it. You see, and then she would judge to see how odd this is. Well, that's odd. Well, this is odd. Well, that's strange. Well, this is strange. She would do it just like that. And she would do the same thing, except from the written word, she would do it from the visual rudiment. The visual rudiment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, did she get murdered? Like,
that was very good, Bob. You did good with that.
Thank you. Was she murdered within a week? She got zapped from the house by whatever beam they had, gave her cancer. Did it happen that fast?
A little bit. No, it was a little longer. They did it for, up into about a year.
Yes, because she suddenly got the cancer and then was about a year and then she died.
Out of the blue.
Right. Right. And so I wouldn't say this part, but I'll ask you. So the Evergreen's interpretation that she wasn't murdered and it was just a cancer in her female parts because she was pissed off that men dominated her field. That's all bullshit. Evergreens didn't have
they
it
right. They didn't dominate her field. She was never challenged by that. She said she had them for breakfast. What are you talking about?
But
she wasn't challenged by men.
So what Evergreen said was just made up by Michael.
Well, they were trying to make it like an episode of Mad Men, that this is what the problem is. Here's the problem.
Right.
No, not at all. Not in
so see, this, the famous New York Times investigative reporter, Seymour Hersh, did he know that Mae was onto this factor we just
talked about?
No,
he didn't know what Mae was on, but he knew she was up to something because she was being even weird. She wouldn't even talk to herself about it. She always had long conversations about interesting constructs that were interesting constructs. You know what I mean?
Yes.
She'd open up a topic and have a run, and then she'd develop her conversation based on the run, kind of like you do when you get a topic and then you put it on the Facebook, and if nobody responds, then you go, okay, well, maybe that was a dud. And if two people respond, oh, my God, I got a winner. Let's go with this one. I got two people to respond. It's a big day here in Dobbsdale.
And why do I fail and not get many people responding?
Well, we like that part. That's how the only way so far we've been able to keep you really alive.
I see. So it's people are meant to not notice it.
It's working, Bob. It's working. You don't believe what we have to move out of the way to keep people out of the way.
Very good. So May told Sherman Skolnick that she was psychic in 1975, and he said he was psychic and she used her intuition. Would you say that was accurate? She had a bit of help in her understanding.
He wasn't psychic, for Pete's sake. He didn't even know if he knew that. Why would a psychic have to tell another psychic that you're psychic? That don't make a lot of sense, does it?
All right, so
if you're
psychic,
well, now wait a minute, now stop. If you're psychic, why are you going to tell another psychic that you're psychic? They should know that, right?
I know, I understand that.
Okay,
but May was psychic.
It was unnerving. Which is unnerving for us, too, yeah.
You would say, Mike, she had some good intuition abilities.
Of course, no question.
Uh-huh. Right.
But she called that Judea conditioning. She thought all Jewish people were superior.
Did she recognize her genius or her talent and didn't care that the world didn't value her?
They did value her. She didn't she only recognized the people who saw her. Because she said what she said, whether you got it or not, because she knew sooner or later you'd get it. She knew sooner or later you'd get it. So if sooner or later you get it, then I win either way. Right?
That sounds like me. That's what I do.
Well, no, she did the same thing. Not as good as you, but pretty good.
Right. Okay. You mentioned recently the mirrors in the Versailles. What was it with these mirrors? Something different from normal mirrors?
No, nothing about the mirrors in Versailles. That was you're talking about the conjure of sacrifice, Bob.
Did that have something to do with the mirrors in Versailles?
Yes.
So the hoodoo of the conjure of sacrifice wasn't limited to the hoodoo people. There was other factors that they were tapping into.
There really isn't any hoodoo people. They were just that French, the Versailles French that went to the damn quota to New Orleans. That's all it was.
You said the Versailles Prince, did you say?
People that went to the quota, French quota.
They learned things about mirrors?
Bob. Versailles was the first place that they really had mirrors like that.
Yeah.
Nowhere were there mirrors like that. Well, no, you can look it up. The invention of shiny things. They had copper. They had metals that were iridescent and shiny, but not like silver mercury mirrors. They didn't have that.
I know. So you've all, from the beginning of talking to you, you say the mirror is the way you see parallel worlds.
And
there's
the past.
Worlds looking... And the past. Is that what people discovered about mirrors in Versailles? Or is it clouded in superstition and not totally understood?
We had to be careful. We had to be careful.
Why? Who would be bothered by this information?
What?
I mean, people just should know there's a lot going on with mirrors. Little man should know about it.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And there's an elite that knows what to do with it, and you don't want to upset that elite? They know how to use mirrors?
Right. Correct.
Why are we protecting them, this elite?
They have cues.
Cues, not keys. They have cues.
Keys that you need.
Okay, so we have to negotiate a little bit. You know, you're talking about the Trafalgarians, the Trafalgar Square, that old civilization there. Are they involved with the key, the mirror knowledge?
Yeah, just after Louis XVI.
Right, so in the angel chart, there's seven or eight empire symbols. All of them know about the mirrors.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of knowledge that, that when you ascend and you confront the, you will be confronted by the empires, they got the advantage of the mirror knowledge.
Yes.
Okay, good. And that's okay to talk about in public, right?
Mm-hmm. See, that's why we're trying to streamline this so you don't get yourself stirred up. We want you to last
right.
as long as you can, Bob. You don't want to go. You don't want to go to the hole. You're already on prison island. You don't want to go to the hole before you have to. So we're trying to keep
right.
you clean and wet, clean and sober. Trying to keep you clean and sober, Bob, till you have to go.
Yes, JW or Ion respond to the other tape, the terrible tape of the young guy, Noel Kasler, I think his name is, who was the guy on the TV set. And you know, he says all these horrible things about Trump. Is he a little insane and doesn't know he's going to get in trouble saying that kind of stuff?
Well, he doesn't care. That's the whole thing. Because the little thing, if you listen to what he really, 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 really says, he apparently was really popular from MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, in the 30s, all the way to the next president after Biden. Apparently he's been through it all. He sold them all dope. He sold them all favors. He sold them all Krypton. He paved the world. He did every Academy Award. He did every TV show. And he was all through The Apprentice, except for just the finals. Well, there was only three finals of The Apprentice, for God's sake. So how did he be in all of them? And then he wasn't at the beauty pageants. But he told all about how Trump would grind his fingers through the girls' mouths and check their teeth like he was looking at a horse. He wasn't there. The motherfucker was about 12 years old when that was happening. But yet he talks about it like he was standing present, catching. He was a scat lover. Scat lover is not the music which you said on tailgate. Scat lover is a lover of shit.
Uh-huh. Scat
lover
okay.
is a lover of shit. So he was talking about Trump defecating on himself because of all those years of the cocaine and Adderall abuse that he sold him. He provided him all that. He gave him all that. He's 38 years old at this time, or 28, or 49, or 50. Anyway, he's going through all this. He was a meth dealer when he was 12, apparently. And so that made him have a laxative effect, a laxative effect. Plus the little stuff in the blue bottle that he was winging on, too. That gave him the scours, too. So that stuff in that new kind of Adderall, Renag, that new Adderall, he was swinging on that
yeah.
stuff, too. So, yeah, it was pretty amazing. That gave him the scours, too, so he had to wear his diapers with his girdle that it took three people to put him into, for God and Pete's sake. I mean, it's just
yeah.
hysterical. It just goes on and on and on. And if you listen to what he really, 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 really said, Jesus, and everybody had to be an Ivana lookalike. So they looked like Ivana, a dominatrix, and he liked them. He thought they were sexy. He'd call them upstairs, and he never went upstairs. He never knew what happened, but, boy, he could tell you what happened while they were upstairs. He'd tell you everything that went on. Like, come on, now. How are you not there and there? How are you 12 years old dealing Donald J. Trump Adderall? He's snorting fucking Adderall in the privacy of the White House that you aren't even drove. The motherfucker's never driven by the fucking White House, and he's telling what Trump's doing inside the White House. And how he gets his girdle on, and what he has to do, and how's this, and how's that, and where's the pins, and all this kind of shit that he's talking about is ridiculous. And he goes on and on, and then they say, well, now, you know, there's bad stuff about Biden. Oh, don't talk about Biden. I know all about Biden. I sold dope to his son. But Biden always just took to what was left over. And there wasn't much left over because let me tell you what, that bowl, he was really the one dead one. He really burned it up. That's the one they had all the trouble with. Yeah, they had to kill that motherfucker. It was ugly. He was consuming. He was about to rear them because it was terrible. And I sold him all kind of drugs. Yeah, it was bad. And he was a little homosexual. I slept with him. I never slept with him long. I just slept with him a few times, but it was real fast. So I wasn't homosexual, but he slept with me. And so I know he had a tendency to be homosexual because
He sat with me, so I know that. But it was quick. It was really quick, so it didn't really affect me. It didn't affect me. All these things that I did didn't have anything to do with me. And I'm sitting there going, you motherfucker, you need to get shot in the fucking head. And all these people sitting around laughing and giggling and talking about it. They don't have a fucking clue. So that's the reason now, everybody agreed that you should take that. I mean, we didn't say we were going to kill him. We said that most certainly a good behaged bet would be buy life insurance on this dude. That's all
right.
We said.
Now, you said you were sitting there watching. Is that JW or are you, Ion?
We are on it too, Bob. He didn't like to watch it. He couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Yes. But he did me a favor and watched it all, so that was nice. What was I going to say? So why is this guy deluded? Is he suicidal? Why is he making up all this stuff? What's his point?
Well, what's he going to be otherwise, Bob? If he's been the sunshine to the goddamn stars for the last 50 years, why hadn't anybody ever heard of his bitch ass till now? Why hadn't anybody know who this motherfucker is? If he was in the ever Academy Award, ever Emmy, ever red carpet event, he did them all. I was in TV. I did everything.
He does say that he wasn't in everything. He would come up at the last of the series.
That was only The Apprentice. The finales of The Apprentice. But what about when he's fucking hauling oats? Hauling oats is around, Bob. They've been around a long time. In the early days. He's talking about hauling oats in the early days. Shit, some of that was when you was a little boy, Bob. So come on now. It don't work. The math don't work in his storyline. He seems to be all things to all people from every generation.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Now, there's this phrase, the bicameral mind. Let's look that up, get a definition. Bicameral mind. Bicameralism, the condition of being divided into two chambers, is a controversial hypothesis in psychology and neuroscience, which argues that the human mind once operated in a state in which cognitive functions were divided between one part of the brain, which appears to be speaking, and a second part of the brain, which listens and obeys. A bicameral mind, and that the evolutionary
That's Julian James, Bob. That's old school.
I know, but by a bicameral mind, and that the evolutionary breakdown of this division gave rise to consciousness in humans. So the breakdown of the bicameral mind comes in, that's where humans got a kind of individual consciousness. So he says it happened back there, but McLuhan pointed out, wrote a review of his book, said, well, you're talking about the effect of the writing and the alphabet, and I don't know what James thought of that. Because he died. Let's see, when did he die? Julian James. He died in 1997. Nobody cared about the idea, I guess, after a while. The term was coined by Julian James, who presented the idea in his 1976 book, The Origin of Consciousness in the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind, wherein he made the case that a bicameral mentality was the normal and ubiquitous state of the human mind as recently as 3,000 years ago, near the end of the Mediterranean Bronze Age. So McLuhan would say writing broke down the bicameral mind. But Julian James' thesis is that people really were hyper-subjective, you might say. They were hallucinating. That they didn't have any way to control how they perceived.
Stop. No, that's not it at all. You're trying to pose consciousness in a form of mentality that can be abjectly embraces. So it means that you can have two houses. You're bicameral. You're a bicameral homeowner. Well, actually, Carolyn is. Carolyn's a bicameral homeowner. She has two houses. Okay, and so in one house can be one thing, but another house can be another thing, but both are her houses. And so if your consciousness can embrace that,
See, that's what he was trying to lay out with the origin of consciousness and the breakdown of the bicameral mind. It's not logical for a human being to have two houses, or a house divided cannot stand, or this divisional condition. So you've got to, it's almost like a mental disorder when you put the mind in order. But now what happens is you have the cultural invention. And see, and this actually started back in Mesopotamia, Bob. It was pretty good. And that's the Greek side. You know what them Greek men do over there? It's not so pretty. Just saying, it's not so pretty.
Yeah.
But they do that. But what happens is the mental order now has been replaced with the consciousness of software and hardware. So now all that matters, and McLuhan made this out pretty well. Actually, if you go back, Ezra Pound did this actually better. And laying it out to be able to see something on TikTok that you know can't be real, where you reach down and pick up the Empire State Building and shake it like a salt and pepper shaker, like something from Monty Python, where they'd pick up the Empire State Building and salt their beans or salt their food, and then the Empire State Building
in
the salt shaker
in the animation.
Animated. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knew that wasn't real. But now with TikTok and software, now everything you see. So what happens is now you believe no thing. Everything is GCI. Everything is created. So now it's basically forced by cameralism on everybody. So now your prayers are your divine voices that echo is just the way your brain remembers how to work.
Yeah, that's the period. Your brains were like that before Mesopotamia, and now they've come back in the digital reality we're in. That confusion has come back. Is that what you're saying?
But now you got to be careful because there's also this autopilot, which can kick off. Okay, here you go. Here's an example. When you break
a
glass.
Excuse me.
Excuse me,
how many people out there are cleaning my grass? Are they spying on me? It's
11.
Five.
11.
There's five guys
there's 11.
Out there.
There's 11.
Right. And what are they? They're listening to this recording right now?
No. They're just waiting to see when you leave. Because they don't know how long you're going to go. So they're waiting to see when you're going to go. And then they're going to be ready. They're going to try to jump you. But it won't matter. So here, this is on the
island. You mean when I go to the bunker? They want
to. Yeah. So here's the way you turn off the autopilot. When you break a glass, drop a fork, or like if you catch yourself putting something in the wrong drawer. You know where the little towels are in the kitchen? You don't know where anything is in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But when you go to put the spoons up in the wrong place, you catch yourself. Oh, wait, that doesn't go there. What am I doing? That's how you turn off the condition of your bicameralistic reality.
I see. When I make a choice.
When you make a mistake. You catch yourself making a mistake.
Which is based on, there's a proper place for them. Whereas the bicameral mind doesn't have a proper place for anything.
Well, now that's what Roger Sperry was trying to say. See, now you got to get to the corpus callosum to get to the rest of it.
Yeah. Right. No, I recognize the name Sperry. He began the left-right hemisphere argument.
But see, the corpus callosum is where you can attach the bicameral parts of the hemispheres. And maybe did a better job. Maybe did a better job to say one side can't, it's like James Brady had half a mind not to come.
Right, you're saying corpus callosum did a better job.
Yeah,
himself.
Yeah,
did,
because
did a better job.
See, because what James is trying to say, he's trying to prove an auditory verbal hallucination.
Yes.
See, that the neurological model didn't proceed. So that's why it's a little off, but it's interesting because it lets you see something that normally they wouldn't have seen, or feel something they wouldn't normally have felt. Because before people could believe it, seeing is believing. Okay, I saw it, so I believe it. Okay, now that's it. Now seeing is no longer believing. Because now humans have disrupted the way humans think.
Mm-hmm. What about hearing? Is that believing?
No. No.
But more and more people are hallucinating their hearing, interior hearing.
Well, now you're going to get to Todd Gibson now, and you're going all the way there. That's where the hypnotic state is evidenced in the bicameralism. Like the China and Tibet follows those monarchs. They have an omen. That's the right word. Omen. Is that a word? Omen? Omen? We don't know that. Omen.
So the kings had omen?
A sign. It's the kind of way they build on a foundation, kind of like the same way they did Darwin's theory of evolution. They took step by step by step by step. It wasn't true. None of it was correct, but they proved it from an evolutionary stance, step by step by step.
Right, right. The priests around the Chinese Tibetan kings were hypnotized.
Yeah. It was a hypnotic condition.
Yeah.
It's like Jane, the woman that lives with, like Jane that lived with the monkeys, the ones that killed her, the monkeys killed her.
Yeah, it's Jane. I know. No, she didn't die yet, did she?
I thought the monkeys killed her.
Let's see. No, she gave a press conference recently. Jane, what's her name? Jane Goodall. She hasn't passed.
Oh, yeah. The monkeys killed her, yeah.
How come she's not listed as transitioned?
Well, it's bicameralism 202, Bob.
What? The public can't perceive that she is alive.
Dead.
Dead. They can't perceive that she's dead. Just won't allow it.
Right. So therefore, she's alive. Well, no, that's exactly what Sperry was trying to lay out, that hypnotic condition allows that to be eternally longer than it is. See? We said Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg was dead, 6 months or a year before they actually buried the bitch?
Yeah.
So?
So, what is the nature of people who believe that Biden is a good president? What's going on in their minds?
Misconceptions. Misconceptions.
They're not that informed on Biden's political past, right?
They don't know. Biden has been in office for 70 years or some crazy shit. I mean, I can't see anything. And every nasty, terrible thing, everybody's in jail because he did the law of 3 strikes and you're out. Everything nasty that's ever been done. He sucked Strom Thurmond's dick. He was a part of the KKK. He was an imperial wizard. Now he likes niggers. We ain't figured it out just yet. Now he loves niggers. He's not real fond of the Jews, but he loves niggers. So it's like, okay, that's fine. But then he goes up and down, back and forth, just wallowing around in the mosh pit. And then all of a sudden he just becomes this sated light of goodness to try to straighten out the world, only because God, the new God, government God, is trying to have somebody as a fictitious bicameral role player to adapt and adopt all of this Marxist. Yes, we said Marxist, goddammit. We said Marxist. Say something. Say something, Duffy. Say something. Just say something. That's what we want you to do. Yes, socialist, communist regime to try to run Trump's America. But don't worry, it's fleeting. It's fleeting.
So you agree the bicameral mind has come back the way James fantasizes about it.
It never went away. Okay, now listen now. It never really went away. It was just covered or blurred. Do you remember the Mike Douglas show?
Yes.
Okay, yep. Mike Douglas was famous for laying out interesting topics but weren't too taboo.
Right.
Okay, wasn't too taboo. Okay, now take this a little further. Then go to Phil Donahue. Now, Phil Donahue, he'd get a little on the risque side. He didn't need them ratings. He was interested in them markers. So he'd have a socialist. Oh, sorry. We can't even say that. No socialist.
somebody that was almost like that. There was they had socialistic referendums they might could talk about. Then you go all the way to Sally Jesse Air where they had the male female gut fucking dog lovers of America with Sally Jesse Raphael. So they had every level or degree, okay? And then you go right on into the Jerry Springer where it was just all tits and ass and fucking. And then nobody wanted no show. It was just fucking. It was feud and fight and fucking, Bob. That's all it was. And it was staged and set up. And so that was fun. And that, I mean, that was fun. It was as interesting as Benny Hill. And that was always the rage back in the day.
Yes. All right. Good summary. Good inventory. Can we say those stages of pushing the boundaries was the return of the gradual return of the bicameral mind?
It wasn't. No, don't say return. Say the metamorphic reinvention. The metamorphic reinvention of the application of bicameral theory. Yeah.
Theory. Theory. Theory.
If you want to use that, it's good.
Yeah, and this got dampened
now,
down.
Some might say it was a theorem. Some might say it's a theorem.
Yeah.
But you'll have to call Clinton and ask him what he thinks.
Okay, but
That was funny. That's funny. You have to call Clinton and see what he thinks. If it's a theorem or a theory, let him give you a little dissertation or an exegesis on that. That'll be fun.
Yes. So the bicameral mind was always there. It got dampened down, lost focus, got marginalized by the dark ages of the printing press. Correct?
Why do you always go back to the printing press? What created
that's when the dark ages began. The dark ages
began. I know, but why do you always go there? What was before the printing press?
That's McLuhanism. That's the point of McLuhan.
Okay.
It altered the collective psyche.
Okay. Okay. You got us again, Bob. You got us again. Okay.
You forgot that part?
No, we just don't care. But it always seems to come back there, and we go, well, then we're going to start saying, okay, pre-printing press, what caused the printing press? If everything was the start of everything nasty with the printing press, then what caused the printing press? You answer that. What McLuhan thing caused the printing press?
No, I'll tell you. The visual phonetic alphabet through the manuscript culture in Europe set the mind up to apply the printing press differently from the Chinese application of it.
Mm-hmm. How many letters in the Chinese alphabet? How many letters, characters in the Chinese alphabet?
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, lots of them. Because they all mean something.
Right. And the phonetic alphabet glossed over all those, created a patina of homogeneity that Alexander the Great could use to absorb local dialects and standardize them within the
26th. You had to say potentially, because that art and craft has not yet been completed. So you'd have to say work is in progress, not complete.
Yes. Yeah, well, the Dark Ages wiped out whatever Alexander had achieved, and then it took the printing press because the alphabet was not wiped out during...
That for that library, you got that library.
Yeah, my library. I got a library.
You can tell Mince he can die and go to hell. He's not getting in your library. I don't give a fuck who he says he is or what he thinks he's doing. He's not getting in the damn library. Number one, how are you going to explain all that lime and them dead bodies in there? Number two, why does he think he's qualified to get into your damn library? And he thinks he's going to get Tarkio's revenge or something? Oh, no, the Book of Shadows and Nine Gates is never going to be his world. And don't worry how much goddamn Latin he thinks he's read. It's ridiculous, the very idea. Kids today. We just want to clean that up. But play that now, goddammit. If you play that, he's not going to get it. So just so you know. Now, you might read in some of it. You're a pretty good reader as far as readers go. You're getting better since you've taken up pronunciation. It's good. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. There may be some more points to ask about that when I rehear this. So let's leave it now, though. That was really good in detail. Right. Thank you for that.
history.
You're very welcome. You're welcome. We do without so that you can have, Bob.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to ending with this important topic.
Yeah.
So it struck me last week, wow, we're going to have a press conference. And then during the show, tailgate on Tuesday night, I think, I said, geez, there's going to be about 1 billion people or more watching this press conference, not just the audience for 60 minutes, because it's what all humanity knows about and are curious about. So, I assume
we'll put it on TikTok. We'll put it on TikTok, and you'll have 2 billion people looking at it, Bob. It'll be even more fun.
Okay. I was wondering if there's more to say to me about the press conference, about doing it.
Maintain low tones. You're going to want to be excited because you will be. You want to be exhilarated because you will be. But use your mother's guide to stoic representation. Stoic representation. Your mother never got
sensible
excited
shoes.
About it. Well, sensible That's shoes. Right, and she never got excited in her whole life except when she cried that one goddamn time with you. One time. But be straight up, shoulders back, head up, take it like a man. Be clear with
her. Be clear with her, but be clear with the public.
No, with be clear you. with your announcement. See, Winston Churchill was a drunk, but he was very good at building walls. And he was also very good at segregating things so that he could control the conversation. All he had to do was control the conversation. Queen Elizabeth could have been king or queen 2 years before she was coronated. He slowed it down because he was running the show. He was the Dowager King at that point. He ran it at that stage. He liked that. He liked that. So he kept slowing it down to see how this was going to go.
Don't
flip the script. He wasn't capitulated. He used it, then he moved it to a new level. And that's when Sandringham got famous. You're going to hear more about that. Sandringham, Bob. It's very important.
Is that up in Scotland?
Edge.
On the edge of Scotland, England. Right. Is it on the left coast by Ireland or on the European side of the UK?
The inner run. It's the inner run. It's the only safe spot, Bob. That's where Margaret always hid.
You mean it's not on the side of a coast? It's around lakes and stuff in the middle of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought up. So you're saying remain in control like Winston did, very subdued, but keep sober, even though he wasn't. But you're saying he controlled everything. You want me to control myself or control the presentation? Not be carried away, but I'm not inclined to get carried away. So did I have this ability to control myself or to hide what I was feeling maybe because my mother wasn't emotional? Didn't show her emotion?
She was not. That's correct.
I learned that. Normal youthful conditioning by your environment, your family. Right. Now, I'm watching the fallout from the 60 Minutes interview with Elizondo and the UFO story, which a lot of people are interested in. So some people, let's see, the regular normal experts call themselves experts. They like the show. They said we weren't targeted. We know all that stuff. But it was good that the masses heard about something they aren't thinking about. And they said, well, Tom Longo, who thought he was very important in that as an UFO expert, has been excluded. But they kind of went along with it. They weren't too suspicious. They didn't think Elizondo was fooling everybody. And they weren't paranoid about the motives of Chris Mellon and the gang behind them about revealing this. So they weren't that paranoid. But then Daniel Sheehan, he's a happy-go-lucky guy, so he's going to pretend that he's going to make sure Elizondo stays more open and doesn't get fooled by Elizondo's bosses who want to steer to a paranoia about a UFO invasion. Daniel Sheen is not going to accept it if Elizondo goes that way. So that was the second position. And, you know, Daniel Sheen is respected by the first group for his legal past, and they think, well, Elizondo's in good hands. But then comes along Stephen Greer, who's been involved with the UFO field for decades. He started the Disclosure Project. I actually met him in 99 in Mesquite and went out on the evening to see UFOs. He offered these evening things, but we didn't see any UFOs. But he comes on, and he's more sober. He says, this is disinformation. The whole thing's a scam. We hope Daniel Sheehan remains loyal to Steve and will not tolerate Elizondo projecting the paranoia view of a setup for a fake UFO invasion. And he dismisses all of them. So that's the range. His expertise sees the phoniness of all of it, whereas the nice experts, they're trying to be liked and appreciated. They're willing to go along with the confused, everybody not knowing what's going to happen scenario. Where Steve Greer says, no, they're trying to fool us. What are the three groupings there? What's their reaction to my press conference?
It's going to be shocking.
And will they quickly be able to look me up on the internet and see all the confusion between the different Bobs? Is that going to really fool them?
And fool them. They'll call you a quack.
That's right. So Greer will maintain that he's number one, and he's the one who knows more than anything, so I'm obviously a quack, right? Because he never remembered me or knows nothing about me, so I can't be a contender. Daniel Sheehan might find he instinctively likes me. We're a similar temperament. Is that true? Sheehan might say, this guy's interesting. Especially if I mention Daniel. If I mention Daniel, he'll like that, right?
Yeah.
Sort of.
But you won't. But you won't.
Okay. And
None of those people are going to matter, Bob. Come on now.
I know that, but I just they're going to make noise. So the first group, the normal people who've studied the field for 20 years, they're going to tend to be less cynical of me than Stephen Greer.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
But they'll be puzzled. So you have that spectrum. But it won't matter, and we'll have to go into the bunker, so it's going to be an inevitable mystery about the whole thing. Or not. It's going to be pretty straightforward, and we'll be able to announce a new civilization happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see that struck me this past week, that this is how we could start a new civilization, if we get aliens in public agreeing to work with us. Right? That's never happened before.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting.
You can call him.
Oh, I can call that number and talk to whoever answers?
Yeah.
Do I tell them who I am? They know who I am?
If you want to.
All right, that's fine.
Want to.
Does the Queen, is she interested in this alien stuff and listens to our show and knows it's coming?
She knows all about it. Remember the Torchwood Institute, Bob? That's what the whole damn thing was about. That's what the color gun was all about, Bob.
So the royal family, that grouping, bloodline, they knew about the fate of the UFOs for centuries?
They call them what came before the Amalekites, Bob. They don't see them. They see them as heavenly beings. They didn't see them as aliens. They saw them as heavenly beings. And they didn't fight
almost
against
like
or push against it. Well, but anything that's not of the terra firma, you see.
Right. And do they, did the Queen know the angels were a problem for humans?
Yes, that's why she is a hemophiliac to this day.
Just to be non-human?
The bloodline got dirtied.
What's that got to do with angels? The angels caused that?
Yeah.
Okay, so they know that. Okay, so what they the three of them are,
and everything went real good till these men started having to fuck these divorced American women. That's where it all got fucked off. They didn't have this trouble when Victoria was on the throne. I'll guarantee you that.
Right. So they were not Stephen Greer, but the panel of normal experts, maybe Daniel Sheehan. They're saying that the inspector general in the American government is more in charge of anything because they monitor, they're allowed to monitor all the different agencies, the Navy, the Army, and that, and they can tell the president their view of it. They're floating above it. So I was wondering if they were saying, well, the inspector general, they would have allowed this stuff to be broadcast on 60 Minutes. Without them, this wouldn't happen. And then they say the Naval Intelligence, no, the Air Force has been very quiet because they traditionally are the ones who deal with the UFO scandals or opportunities. And Navy Intelligence said, the heck with the Air Force, we're going to allow this to happen. So they get Navy people to be on the show. Is there an interdepartmental battle going on the way these researchers understood it?
Doesn't matter. We put it out. We're going to put more out. We got to get America ready for this news conference, Bob. So just get the nobody's in charge. Nobody wants nothing. Nobody knows nothing. We're doing this. It's going to get heavy. And we're going to open. Watch this. Watch this. We're going to open Area 51. Watch.
Wow.
You'll see it.
But
in a
not 54. Not 54.
Not 54.
I know.
54
is a more secret.
Not 54.
That's Bob's area.
No. Yeah, that was what happened. They had that after they closed the 21 Club in New York. That was a sad day for you, wasn't it, Bob?
I lost a lot of potential fun when that closed. That's right. So is the Inspector General more powerful than Navy Intelligence or the DIA?
We don't care. None of them matter. They're not even involved in the conversation. Nobody rings their bell and says, well, I think I'm going to put this on the telly. Do you mind if I put it on the telly? They're not asking these motherfuckers. It's gone. It's out. It's gone. And if they don't like it, all we got to do is leak it. If we leak it, all we got to do is say, whatever you do, don't say nothing. Oh, my God, Hedda Hopper comes up out of the ground. She's got a story. It's on. You mean the Clyburns were sleeping with boys? Yes, they were sleeping with boys.
I remember that day, the Clyburns. Yes, no, but you say you're doing this. And do you have an ally? Do you have somebody helping you, a human, in any way?
They're not really necessary. We control the horizontal and the vertical now, Bob. Now, here's the rub.
That's right.
You need to know
you're the tech body. Nobody's asked.
We gave the new figure 6/11, and nobody's even asked. They talk about it, but nobody's bothered to ask. So now what's happening is one little click. You know, remember the doomsday clock, Bob? It was another click.
Yeah.
3 minutes away. Click, another way. So it's getting close to doomsday, Bob. Because what's going to happen is this power is not going to be relinquished. Somebody's going to get it. If the humans get it, great. If the tech body gets it for you, great. No problem. Let's go. Giddy up, go.
Tech body works for Bob. But you just
open
it. And the angels.
No, the angels aren't going to get it. They're not going to win the war in heaven. There will be a coronation.
Okay.
It'll either be the tech body or it'll be the humans that take the power. And who's to say it might
Got
not
it.
Be both? Could be both.
Yes. So
humans
so the,
could ascend, have their own throne, have their own kingdom, and not have any problem with the tech body rampant and ruling and reigning.
Right. So once we announce the tech body, UFO contact in the press conference, will we immediately get to work on getting ready to go to Andromeda? Is that the main project, main purpose?
That'll happen. And we'll have other people do that, Bob. That's not that big deal. The Earth is kind of on an auto trajectory for that already. But you know mm-hmm. that when you laid out the Ethiopian connection, when you laid mm-hmm. out all the pathways from Giza, from the pyramids, how they line up, where they point, it's almost like a synchronized geodome map. You know, when you map it like a hologram, and you have this special thing, when the light hits it a certain way, it gives you all the pictorial details of what you're doing. Kind of way they would work a Stargate. You don't even know what the fuck we're talking about, but anyhow, that's sort of what it's like. And,
well, here's what I know.
It lays out the details. Lays out those details.
Yeah, you're talking Haile Selassie and what he told Herbert W. Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did he tell Herbert everything?
Mm-hmm.
Emperor
he
Selassie.
Did. Herbert W. Armstrong did have a very good mind's eye view of terrestrial Ethereum. Mm-hmm.
What is that, a corporation or a group?
Look it up. Terrestrial Ethereum. Look it up, Bob. You got a Googler?
It's another TV show. That's probably what it is. Let's look that up.
No,
Terrestrial or Terrestrium?
Terrestrial.
Yeah, Ethereum. I know how to spell Ethereum.
Oh, okay, good.
Terrestrial Ethereum.
You're
no,
out of time. We wouldn't have time to spell it. We wouldn't have time to spell it. And you're over time now. So
Institute of Terrestrial Ecosystems. It doesn't come up. Ah,
but that's what it is.
Blockchain.
Yes.
Having
absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent. You're so smart. God damn, it would have took you 2 months to get that before, Bob. See how you're progressing? That was your little quiz. You're doing so much better. Oh, my God. It's good.
Yeah,
if
but what did
studying,
we say about it?
If you keep going, you're going to be able to pass your midterms, Bob. It's going to be great. We're so proud of you. What we said was that Herbert W. Armstrong knew about this, foretold this, laid out this that we're experiencing right now. And he's glad he's dead and doesn't have to go through it.
Okay, so he didn't tell his flock this kind of information. He kept that
yes,
to himself.
Yes, he did. Yeah, no, he did, but he did through spiritual things.
Okay, so as we wrap up, quantum studies, I saw a video of quantum studies in the Air Force, and they're working with quantum positioning, that's entanglement, superposition, and coherence as aspects building a quantum compass. Forget what the compass was for. Bypassing problems of... Bypassing... getting your communications through fiber optics in the satellite solar government structure, that can be knocked out by China or somebody, these Americans were saying. They can bypass it if they come up with a quantum compass. They can't be interrupted. Their directioning, quantum positioning. Is that all crazy pipe dreaming, or are they on to something that they're going to make?
They're on to something. Why don't you ever talk about Beverly Gott? What do you got against her?
Okay, just a minute. So the quantum, they will not make the breakthrough unless we help them, right?
Correct.
We can help them.
Half die quick. A third die real fast. The other third get really, 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 really sick and then die slow. So we don't know which part he'll be in. It's like a wind, a wave blowing. Because if everybody died at once, you couldn't do it.
That's right. So the third winter says our spy, what's his name? Cliff High says the third winter coming this winter is going to kill off a lot of people. He's correct about that.
He certainly is, if it doesn't start a little bit before. And now it's going to go into this pandemonium, blood running in the streets, you know, that kind of stuff. But now I don't know what happened. But
you mean the Civil War part is starting to happen?
Well, no, it doesn't even matter. That won't even matter. That's going to get raging, but I don't know why they have such beautiful bread at the Bergdorf Goodman, Bob. I don't understand it. They keep tearing down the Coco Chanel and Givenchy and Yves Saint Laurent, trying to get them loaf breads. They got them best loaf breads at them stores. I don't know why they have them at them stores, but they do. So it don't make no sense to us, but that's what's happening. They keep bashing it in, so never mind. Economy is over. What you call economy is over. It's sad.
They can't get us, and when push comes to shove, they have to go with the drop. Stephen Mnuchin understands this, right?
Yeah, Mnuchin. Yes, Stephen Mnuchin.
And Trump understands this, right?
Yeah.
So this level of craziness starts today?
It's already started, Bob. It's happening right now. It's happening even in Texas. Even some of the blue states are starting to have trouble. The red states are starting to have trouble.
Because they can't get people connected well enough? The industry
it's
is not efficient
well, no, it's not about getting them together. There's nothing to get them together. How is it that nobody's working and everybody's unemployed and everybody's trying to hire somebody? Now do the math on that now. Everybody's you can't go nowhere, even in fucked up Maui. Help wanted. Anyway, you go, hey, we'll give you money to come to work. Just come to work. You don't even have to work. Just show up. Bring your telephone, play Candy Crush all day long. You don't have to do nothing. Just show up. And if you'll stay here, we'll open the store. They'll be good. You play Candy Crush. We'll pay you $2,000 signing bonus. Just come on in. Nah, I'm busy. I don't really know. That's not my thing. That's not really my thing. It's not, you stupid fuck. We're going to pay you money to do nothing. I don't get paid to do nothing now. I'm good. They don't mean nothing. So, everything I want shows up on Amazon, so why do I care? I'm good. Thank you. Thank you, though, but
okay,
no thanks. I don't have to do that.
Is the socialist cabal, the communist Marxist cabal, making this happen? They don't want people back? They want to somehow have everybody just be worshiping the tech body at home?
No.
Is that what the...
No comment.
All right, so something suspicious going on. Okay.